Friends, first of all, a very, very blessed and happy Easter to you. Let me feel the love. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. And I truly wish the presence of the risen Christ deep inside you. When Pope Francis visited the United States last year, many of you know that he spoke at the Festival of Families in Philadelphia. And he began his impromptu talk with a story of a child who came to him and asked him this very philosophical question. This child wanted to know, what did God do before God created the world? And the Pope said, it's a difficult question to answer. And then he thought for a while, and I'm repeating the exact words the Pope said, he told the boy. I told him what I'm saying to you now. Before creating the world, God loved. For God is love. Honestly, if a child had to come and ask me that question, now I know what to say, but before Pope Francis said, I don't know what I would say. But that's the wisdom of this man. He's completely immersed in the love of God. Today, as we celebrate Easter, I want to think of Easter as the triumph of God's love. The triumph of God's love. In other words, if any of us wanted to know what God's love is like, the cross and the tomb tell us the story. So I'm reflecting on Easter as a triumph of love, and I'm going to do this in 3 points. Two of my points are a reflection on God's love, but the third is an invitation. First of all, love shown through mercy. See, we are in the Jubilee of Mercy, and it's imperative that we reflect on Easter from the context of the mercy of God. Once again, I want to revert back to Pope Francis. Sometime in December, he released a book titled, The Name of God is Mercy. And Pope Francis tells the story of a Capuchin priest who came to him seeking help. The priest had a problem. The priest said to the Pope, I always have so many people at the confessional, people of all walks of life, some humble, some less humble, but many priests too. I forgive a lot. And sometimes I have doubts. I wonder if I have forgiven too much. I have a very similar problem. The confessional is the most humbling place, and sometimes you have people come and I always struggle. And at what point should I say to this person, come on, you know, or I don't. But at what point do I say that this is too much, right? The Pope then asked the priest what he did when he had those doubts. And this was the priest's response. The priest said, I go to the chapel and I stand in front of the tabernacle and say to Jesus, Lord, forgive me if I have forgiven too much. But you are the one who gave me this bad example. Folks, this is true. It's the mercy of God that shows us the extent of God's love. The mercy of God is a very concrete place where you know how much God loves. Those of you familiar with the gospel or the gospels, there's not one passage there that someone can highlight and suggest that there is a limit to God's mercy. Not one passage. But Jesus interacts with somebody and you realize that there is a limit to God's mercy. In fact, the extent of God's mercy makes God's love look scandalous. Isn't that what they said about Jesus? This man eats and drinks with sinners. They were scandalized by what Jesus was doing. And the story of the lost son or the prodigal father or the prodigal son, however you want to call that parable, tells us exactly that. The son is invited back into the home and no account is asked about what he did with the inheritance. Or no condition is put, yes, you can stay in, but from now on, this is what you will do. No conditions, no account asked. The hope, and it's only a hope, it's not an assurance, it's only a hope that the Father's mercy will prove to be transformative for the Son. In other words, there's no account asked, there's no conditions put, but the mercy of God hopes to bring a transformation in the person who's coming to God. God has that much trust in us. Easter is a celebration of this kind of love. Jesus died for us without any assurance that humanity would transform itself. When Jesus died on the cross, he did not say, well, this is the last sin. No. In fact, how many of you, me too, have been to the confession and after a month or 2 or 6 months, we feel the need of going back again because even though we've experienced God's mercy, we sin. God has no assurance of any transformation from anybody, yet God loves freely, hoping to create that transformation. And Easter is a celebration of that kind of mercy and love. Secondly, I want to talk about Easter as a triumph of love. Now, those of you who are following the presidential elections, have you had enough of this yet already? As I've been saying, gosh, elect, let's have it tomorrow, let it be done with. What difference is it going to make who's going to be elected? So, in any case, however, as candidates try to win, you know that election is all about winning. As candidates try to win, I feel there is so much being lost. This time around particularly, civility, respectful political dialogue and discourse, integrity, and humanity have lost out. Many of you know that I became a citizen on the 4th of February, and instead of looking forward to wait, I can't believe I have to vote. And I'm sure many of you feel the same way. Here is something that I'm saying to myself. I'm saying this could all be so different. Many of you agree, this is not the way that our leaders should be. This could all be so different. And if you have been frustrated by this political discourse, don't be too discouraged, because if you think about the events surrounding Christ's life, it was actually worse. Holy Week exposes the inhumanity of humanity. The intrigue, the lies, the false witnesses, the false accusations, the betrayal, the denial, the collaboration between Pilate and Herod, these two enemies who then became friends because they put Jesus, condemned him and put him to death. All this points to the loss of the very things we bemoan today. And yet, something won that day. Amidst all the humanity and brutality, love won. Hanging on the cross, Jesus sees all the inhumanity that people have carried out. And he hangs there and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As history looks back at the gruesome events of Jesus' suffering and death, we see Jesus standing tall. You and I are here to worship him today because in the midst of the brutality, Jesus stood tall. He continued to show the world how much God loves the world. And he continued to show the world how much God loves and how to love the world. Easter is a triumph of that kind of love. 2,000 years later, we are celebrating this love at this Easter Mass. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that love always wins. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that love always wins. And thirdly, Easter is an invitation to mercy and love. Folks, we have gathered here to celebrate Easter under the shadows of some very horrific events in Brussels, Belgium. This senseless carnage of violence. 31 people we know have died, and there are that many more still missing, and hundreds that were injured. It's just impossible to comprehend. But the problem is that there is a cycle of violence that never seems to stop. It's a cycle. Neither the governments across the globe nor the terrorists have the courage or the foresight to seek another path besides the destruction of each other. Who is going to stop this violence? When the Pope addressed the world today, he does it every Easter, he asked for weapons of love. History continues to tell us for centuries, for millennia, that violence breeds more violence. I certainly cannot stand here at the sanctuary and say that the cross of Jesus and the empty tomb teach us nothing. I cannot claim that. There is another way. It's the way of the cross. There is another way. It's the way of Jesus. But we have successfully banished Christ from the public sphere. So we continue to suffer. Unfortunately, you and I have no control over the geopolitical affairs. Who are you and I? But there's something we do control: our personal self. That we have control over. And if Easter means anything to us, it is this: that we make a personal commitment to the way of the cross. That we make an intentional commitment to the way of Jesus. Easter is an invitation to walk the way of Jesus. After all, it is the cross that led to the resurrection. So here's my question to each one of you and to myself. Can Jesus depend on you to walk the way of the cross? Or are you also going to give into violence, to discord, to insults, to prejudice, to hatred, to selfishness and inward-looking discourse. Amidst all the inhumanity, all the brutality, all the carnage, can you, like Jesus, stand tall? Will you let love win? The little child asked the Pope, "What did God do before God created the world?" And the Pope said, "Before God created the world, God loved." May you and I bear witness to that love. So as a reflection, Amy and I would like to send you home with this message. In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very there's quite enough love for all the world. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to reach to all of the world. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. He is risen. Christ is risen, very room, he is here. In this very room. The people of God said, Amen.